Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well, hello.
Hello there.
So, after our Mercury hiatus, we are back. And for this month's theme of reaping balance, tonight Elvira and I will be talking about working with the left and right brain in the first part of the show, and then we're going to take a look at working with the masculine and feminine consciousness. But first, we're going to catch up and see what we've been up to for the last couple of weeks. And I can start out here. This past week or two has been kind of strangely intense. I mean, there's been a lot of good things, but a lot of just odd things, or, you know, kind of just, you know, truly intense things. I mean, there's, well, one of the wonderful things was I celebrated my anniversary with my husband and Irish Fest and did a bunch of other fun things, which was really nice. And I've had a lot of clients recently doing a lot of different spell work and root work this week. I've been making candles and oils for the local shop, Altered State of Mind. And I've been trying to continue with my personal commitment to meditate every day, and that's been going okay. You know, it's like I started to worry because I was trying to shoot for an hour, like building it up to an hour, but then I kind of felt like I needed to pull back a little. So around 35 minutes or so seemed really just perfect. You know, but then, of course, there's that part of me that's like, oh, no, I'm going backwards. You know, I need to push forward. And then I remembered a mentor saying that consistency is way more important than the length of time. And so I'm just going to stay with what feels just right to me.
Good.
Then I had, like, a really odd thing happen. I just have to say this is so weird. But I think it's not too uncommon, although I've never had it happen with us before. But my dog, Loki, she loves chewing on sticks. And so, like, about 10 days ago, she was chewing on a stick, and then it seemed like she started, like, pawing at her mouth. And so I thought, you know, she's got that stick is stuck in her mouth or something. And so I was trying to look, but she's not very cooperative with just letting me look at stuff like that. And she's really strong. And so but then she stopped doing the pawing stuff after a day or so. And I thought, oh, she probably, you know, she probably just got it out herself. And so, but then like a few days later, she started doing this weird, like, kind of like a chattering thing with her teeth. And I'm like, what? You know, I had never seen her do that before. And she did that for a couple of days. And I thought, so, you know, I'm looking it up, you know, what's this, you know, chattering with the teeth, what is that about? And I found that there's a ton of different reasons that can happen. And so, but one of the things was that dental dental pain. And I thought, oh, well, maybe she hurt her tooth or something. So we took her to the vet a couple of days ago. And, of course, you know, like I said, she's not easy to work with. And so they, with our permission, they took her in the back and I believe kind of put her in a harness and had a couple people hold her. And the vet looked, got to look in her mouth and then came out shortly after that with one of those metal clamps holding a stick as if she was coming out showing like, I delivered a stick. You know, she was very happy and proud of herself. And we were very happy and proud of her too. The top of her, the roof of her mouth going crossways so that it was like lodged between her teeth. Yeah. And it was actually starting to dig into her gums and she could not get it out. And so she looks so happy now because I thought she was looking kind of down before that, you know, but I wasn't sure what was wrong. But now she's wagging her tail and she's totally happy again. So I was very glad that it was just the stick and that they were able to get it out.
No kidding. Really.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So how has your past week or so been, Elvira?
Well, last week it was, well, since Mercury went retrograde, it's been really weird and strange. And I know we all say that when, you know, we get into this, but there's been a slight variation. And at first it was, you know, clients and everything. It was like zero dead. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Because, you know, and you know, all the other aspects and you know, planets and stuff. And then it just started upticking and it kind of went, you know, into this upward thing where as of today I was like scheduling people when I don't even work because they were like please please, you know, and all, and I'm like okay fine. But so that, you know, kind of helped out. I fought with one of my credit card companies because since I moved here I have a, you know, I have an address that I have a mailing address that's the UPS store in town. Because of where it is, it has this very strange address. And it's taken me almost 2 years for almost all of my accounts to get, because I like paper bills. And so I was on the phone this morning for an hour and a half with one company trying to get everything set up because they keep dropping pieces of this address. So, but I finally got everything on, you know, we got it all. So I felt, well, Mercury retrograde worked for me because I'm going back over it again. So that made me feel like it was an accomplishment. And it's funny you talk about dogs. I had to set money aside to get both my dogs, their annual visit to the vet, and their dog shots and their rabies vaccination, you know, things. And so I'm taking them in at one at a time because I bring them in both, they'll start both screaming at each other and the poor people around will be devastatedly, you know, ears will be popping. And we went through the whole thing and, you know, the female was pretty, you know, she wasn't happy, but she kind of like, okay. The boy decided he had to talk all the way through the process. Aww. And I got him, you know, it was like, whoa, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And I got him home, and of course, the intensity, they all kind of just laid on the couch. And I had to be careful because of where they did the shots so that I didn't rub it because it was all that. But they've, you know, gotten back to normal. And they love their squirrel, live squirrel television because now the squirrels are running back and forth on my porch railing, which is nice and wide and all the way around. And we got trees with nuts on them. So they literally run and the dogs are like barking and jumping. And so they get really a lot of exercise going back and forth to these little squirrel pictures of them running up and down, and some of them will stand there and twitch their tail, and you could tell they're going, I know you can't get me, that kind of thing. So it's been, you know, that kind of a experience with dogs. And just in general, I've been kind of going through a bunch of different things that I've had to go through in retrograde, looking at personal things or feeling personal things and finding the time to do that. It's interesting talking about meditation. I find that if I, and it's very interesting, do it at the end of the day, the dogs decide they're going to be like the sphinxes on either side of me, and they'll be on the bed or, you know, the couch or something where I'm lying, but they're on either side, and I'm just doing my little bit of meditation, quiet time, and that's how we go through our process. And they, I don't care, I can't get away from that. They have to be there. So I was kind of listening to you talk about meditation and dogs and stuff, and I thought, you know, you and I sync up so much in our personal lives being as they are, but then things that happen. I think that amazes me in terms of the way, you know, we get with people when we're working with them, or, you know, there's a camaraderie. So, that's it. I mean, you know, two weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, it's kind of, it all kind of melds together, and here we are talking. So I'm going to turn it back to you so we can go, we can dive into our brain.
Right. So I guess I'm just going to start out with what do we mean by working with the left and right? So this whole thing of left and right brain is, this whole concept is, it's based on an old theory which suggests that one side of your brain is more dominant than the other. And this came from, like, the, in the 1960s, neuroscience research showed that one side of the brain tends to be more dominant in each person. And since then, many people have categorized themselves as either left-brained, the analytical, methodical, logical type, or right-brained, the artsy, creative, and emotional type. So this original theory suggests that, you know, people with a dominant left brain are going to be more analytical and orderly. And it's sometimes called the digital brain because it is better at things like reading, writing, and computations. And conversely, the right brain is thought to be more visual, intuitive, and creative. This whole, like, left brain, right brain theory is an oversimplification of how our brains work and how we process information. And so it's only kind of like part true. So I came across the TED Talk by neuroscientist Jill Bolt-Taylor. It's called Stroke of Insight. And I think she did this talk like 12 years ago. And in it, she kind of details her experience of having a stroke on the left side of her brain at a young age. I think she's like 36 or 37. And talking about what that was like, which was like, it was very profound and really kind of gave like an inside look at what that means if you're only using, you know, certain parts of your brain. And so I highly recommend anybody who's interested giving that video a look. But so the right hemisphere is thought to be like a parallel processor, which means it has the ability to deal with multiple stimuli simultaneously. And it's very present moment based. And it also looks, for example, like if we're driving in a car, we don't focus on just the driving. We might be listening to music, carrying on conversations with other people in the car. And we might be, you know, also looking for street names or directions. And then at the same time, like the left hemisphere functions mainly like a serial processor. And so that means that it mainly processes one thing at a time. And it's more linear, more analytical, and it's also very past-future based. But I guess like another point I want to make is that while both the left and right have different ways of processing our thoughts,
The emotional system in the human brain is the limbic system. And the cells of the limbic system are very structured and very organized. And they are evenly divided between the two hemispheres. And so we have emotional tissue in the left brain and the right brain. And we also have thinking tissue in both the left. This means that we can take everything that we understand to be true about our left brain versus our right brain and see how each of them operate emotionally and mentally in different ways. And so some theories, something that I really liked, and I actually incorporated it into how I process things when I'm in a, like a, what I think of as a magical state of mind, or, you know, doing divination sometimes, or mediumship, is that some theories deal with, well, there's so many different maps of consciousness, but with this map, there's thought to be like four pillars of consciousness. So two on the right and two on the left, which can be described as the left side thinking, which is intellectual. And you can think of that as like the ego or the organizer. And then there's the left emotional side, which is more the critic, more discernment, and will also tap into fear and, you know, fight or flight. And then there's the right side emotional, which is very expansive and fearless and unconditional. And it's kind of more like that our inner child. And then there's the right side thinking, which is the collective, you know, the present moment, very compassionate. And it's almost like the divine observer seeing things outside of ourselves. And so we can explore ways of doing or, you know, interacting with those different parts of ourselves and our consciousness by noticing when we are in the experience of the left or right brain flow of thought or emotion. And I think that when we do this, it makes it easier to multitask. I was thinking of that as multitasking when we're doing any sort of work that entails, you know, tapping into like the quantum field. I can really see that where it's like sometimes I have to tell that part of my mind that taps into fear or ego to just shut up.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm tapping into the, you know, into the field of consciousness to see what I can get. And if I have that fear and ego popping up, then it interferes.
Right.
So tell me some of your thoughts on this, Elvira.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, your description and discussion is very insightful. And I was thinking, well, you know, some of it is very precise. And I was, you know, listening, and when you said limbic system, you know, it's one of those where the limbic system has, mm-hmm. you know, the hippocampus, the mm-hmm. Hypothalamus, the thalamus, and I can never say this, but it's amygdala. There we are.
Amygdala.
Thank you. Amygdala. I was sitting here trying to figure out.
From my old science classes.
Yeah, well, but, you know, what it is it works with basically just what we're talking about, the emotional processing, you mm-hmm. know, and in it mm-hmm. can be different pieces. It's almost mm-hmm. like, and it's at the base of the, you know, the brain and, you know, kind of where the brain stem goes in and, you know, that mm-hmm. whole process. And it makes me think of it being the control center, not as a control center, but more mm-hmm. as a directional center that things come mm-hmm. in and things go out, and it's the way that it transmits it back and forth, either to the body or to the motion or whatever. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking of that. And there's a children's movie, and I don't know the exact name, but it talks about mm-hmm. it has the brain and it has little different characters that are parts of the brain, and they did one for the child, and they just made one for when the child goes into the tween years, meaning 13, and starts processing, and it has rage, mm-hmm. and it has, you know, love and emotion and fear. And I was thinking of that, mm-hmm. the center that they show in the brain is these groups of people with computer, you know, little things and computers and all. But I thought of that. Mm-hmm. And to me, that area is very crucial. And even in chiropractic, it is the cervicals that are right at the top there. And originally, mm-hmm. the Palmer method, there was only one spinal bone you had to deal with, and that was the top cervical. If you did that and brought it into alignment, it would take care of the entire body, and, you know, literally the entire spine,
mm-hmm.
and it would be the adjustment. That was the old method. And of course, as mm-hmm. years got more, they kind of went to doing adjustments of, you know, the rest of the spine, the sacrum, and, you know, all the other things. And it was mm-hmm. just like, because my father was a chiropractor, among all the other fact that I had a dynasty of chiropractors in my family. And so I lived with these different things. And I mm-hmm. thought of that when I was looking at the right and the left brain and multitasking. You know, and we were talking on our structural time when we were first time around, the first show that we didn't get to do. But it was mm-hmm. about, you know, multitasking. And it's not that male energy or men can't multitask, but mm-hmm. it seems like women have been put in that because, I mean, if you think about cooking and cleaning and taking care of a baby and, you know, doing mm-hmm. all these different things, and then taking it into, you know, when they started working in the workforce as secretaries and, you know, all the different things, that ability was then made into the more, I want to say, masculine environment to mm-hmm. do that. And it was that energy of cyclic and circular, and we can do everything. We can go over here and go over there and get everything put together. And I just kept thinking of the, you know, this one limbic system as the control center. So that's mm-hmm. my, you know, what I wanted to add was not necessarily any more about, you know, what the right and left brain and what the newer versions of working with quantifying what areas and how things move and go. And mm-hmm. when you realize that fear creates anger, because that's a survival mechanism to survive, it is, and I don't want to say primitive, but it is a way mm-hmm. to get out of something, and that the compassion and love and openness in, mm-hmm. you know, makes you, you know, again, it opens. So you become mm-hmm. vulnerable versus closing down and becoming more shell-like, and you can punch and do what you need to do to take care of the survival consciousness. And I find it interesting that when we multitask, we are outside that paradigm completely. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're looking at these other things and seeing them, and maybe, you know, we might be triggered a bit to feel things on that level, but we get beyond it. And mm-hmm. I don't know, that's my thoughts, you know. I'll turn it back to you now.
Yeah, no, I like that. There, I think that, like, when we're exploring, you know, different ways of using those different parts of our consciousness, that we can do that by observing ourselves and just noticing when we are in certain parts of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what we ultimately want to be able to do is to be able to multitask within kind of like the middle path of our consciousness by finding that balance between the two
mm-hmm,
or four,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever the case may be, or whatever map that you're using
right
of consciousness. And so
you know, like I would say that, like, say when you're doing a reading or something, and or doing, you know, taking messages from spirit, it's like you're using that part of yourself that is more about the expansive, unconditional, you know, the present moment, the compassionate, the one that connects with the collective, and you're getting that information. But then to be able to share it with the client, you need to be able to put it into words and communicate that to them. And so it's like you have to use both parts of yourself to pull that off. And so it's interesting, like, it's just thinking about this more has made me kind of observe myself a little bit more within, you know, while I'm operating, so to say. And so, have you had any experiences like that?
Well, you know, a lot of, yes, I do. And I think it's when I am in a place where I've been pushed and pulled so much, and I suddenly am starting to, you can feel yourself start to spiral a little bit into the constrictive fear or anxiety or worry. And it's almost like stepping out of that, almost like stepping out of that shell and being able to reevaluate how you can do something. And I find it's very interesting that for me, it usually is when I am sitting and I'm doing something and I'm getting more and more frustrated about how do I do this, even though I've got all the things in front of me. And so I'll get up and literally physically get up and go walk around the house or walk around the room. I will open up the front door and I will step outside for a moment and just breathe. Because when I'm in a place that's expansive, then I'm able to see the bigger perspective. I can see things in a different way rather than trying to fit things together. I know that different projects require us to do that. I know that when I was an events coordinator and I had like 15 projects, and one of them, you know, they're all over the place, and I've got, you know, my computer had a little sticky post-its. Literally, it looked like a design all the way around the monitor. And I would look at this and I would go, okay, so I get outside, and now I'm going to date myself. I have a CD player. I put my headset on, and I literally, they had a huge warehouse and, of course, large, you know, parking lot that was safe to walk in. And I would literally just go, I'm going outside, and they're looking at me, and they knew not to touch me or ask questions. And I literally would walk the entire length and distance listening to this music and dancing. You know, they actually they knew I was enough off beam that they didn't think it was totally strange. But I found that if I move my body and I'm listening to this stuff, I'm able to get out of the headspace that is creating constriction. And, you know, I
raising your vibration and shifting your focus.
Definitely. I think I need to get off and let you back it because I'm looking at our time like, oh, my gosh.
That's okay. it's time for us to take a little break, but we will be right back to take a deeper look into the topic of the left and right brain, but also working with the masculine and feminine energy. So break us away, Naga Shiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
We're back.
We're back. Oh,
yay.
I love that break number.
Yep, bouncing around.
Yep, back again to the concept of bouncing and bouncing and jumping and getting our energy back on.
Yeah, well, you said that, you know, that you might date yourself talking about having that CD player, but I was thinking, I still have a CD player.
So do I, dear. I have the big one that, you know, that sits down and it can take, you know, CDs and cassettes here. Cassettes, yes, little ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. It's definitely basis. At least I don't say I've got, you know, what is it? The ones that you put in that were the 8-track and the 4-track.
Yes.
That's definitely. Yeah. Now it's just turn on your automatic, you know, go on Pandora or something. It's like, oh my God.
Anyway.
Oh my God. Okay. So we're on another level.
We're ready to kind of dive back in. And so we were going to expand this to, you know, working with the consciousness of the masculine and feminine energies. And you want to lead us off with some of your thoughts on that?
Sure. You know, obviously, and again, we're you kind of have to angle things a bit. So if you're taking like feminine aspect or the feminine magic, you know, I mean, we're talking, you know, self-nurturing and, you know, compassion and reflection and, you know, the spiritual forces that we work with in terms of that. And then, of course, bringing in to activate it to feel good physically. So, you know, some of the things that, I mean, we're not talking just spiritually, but some of the things that we can start to work on, you know, is massage and yoga and different kinds of lighter weight activities, like I was talking about walking around the parking lot, because that opens you to an expansion. And then what you can do in terms of magic, you know, and finding, you know, the aspects of, you know, the feminine, you're dealing with, you know, things that would be, you know, again, we could choose products and stones and the moon energy. Of course, we just had the, you know, the full moon, blue moon, energy that we experienced on Monday. And then, you know, you're dealing with different planets like Venus or, you know, goddesses, energies that are feminine and creative in that way. And then taking the masculine side and, you know, again, that's, you know, not necessarily just, you know, being very assertive, but feeling confident. You know, being, you know, putting yourself in a space where you take your compassion and your empathy and you add that other part of the energy where you're dealing with feeling centered in your energy of being able to do something. I think that's where we get a lot of fear, is going from the create, you know, that creative and, you know, that soft part, to saying, well, how can I take the soft part and bring the masculine side in, or the confidence of doing something? And, you know, I'll use, I think, an example when I was doing the events is I would have to look at venues and creativity and put things together in a way that was interesting and creative and magical in its own way, because they knew I was off the wall for them. And so I would go ahead and get everything together, and then what I would do is I would clear the space after we did one of the events, and they were all busy, you know, at the bar drinking or, you know, whatever. And I would run around the room and do all of the cleansing and things and do this, the spiritual side of it that would bring in a balance. And then we go back to setting things up. And for me, looking at how to put masculine and feminine energies, is I was using my spiritual energies and knowledge to work in an environment that was very, you know, we're doing this event, we want to be able to, you know, have the booths of the people and make sales and do all of that. And it was about taking, and that's just an everyday thing. And I think on the spirit plane, when we do magic, it's about, we know what we're going to, we have a plan. We want to have, you know, we want to make something creative for our ability to make money. That's a male thing. Making money is, you know, doing something on a male level. And then you start with the different elements. And we know that fire and air are masculine and water and earth are feminine. So there's your, you know, the two and the two, and you know, the different energies. How do you use that? How do you bring in items that are part of that to create that? And that's kind of how I see a lot of, you know, taking magic and spirit and putting it into the world in a practical way, but also in a way that we feel confident about it, because I know we want to see an outcome. That is a very linear structure. We go from point A to point B. We know we're going to drive from this place to this place. We'll need a certain amount of time. We need to get gas, and those are our linear structures. But we know about spirit and magic is there's this other component, and that's why the co-creative process with feminine energy or the feminine aspect is it sees it as a more fluid process. And so moving that energy in a more fluid way, as well as having a destination or a desired outcome, but also being willing to necessarily open to a different outcome. It, you know, maybe it's a better outcome. Maybe what you put together turns into something that at first isn't exactly what you expected or wanted, but you start seeing how much bigger or warmer or softer it is than what you expected. And I'm using those words because we have a tendency to think, using thinking as a way, and I know that you have worked with people and you know, helping them with their magic and things that they want to do. And we are taught in the world, going to school, you know, certain things on how to do stuff and get outcomes. And it's hard for some children that see it in the other form, the bigger form, the, you know, the larger spirit form, to get stuff, you know, to put it into that. So it's kind of like trying to fit us into that little mold, and then we grow up and we start getting involved and we go, oh my God, magic and spirit, and oh, I feel this, you know, feeling, and then we have to kind of break that mold again to get a better version of what we have. Not throw away everything, but do that one thing that we are, I guess, the hardest part is integrating the two aspects, because neither of them is opposed. Just like the yin and the yang symbol has a black and a white dot in each one. So the, you know, they have that, that you have both and you connect in that way, in that fluidity. And I think to me is, and magic is both, you know, you go in and, you know, no wonder we dress in certain things, because that makes us feel very powerful. You know, I have so many, you know, spirit goddessy, you know, priestessy outfits with, you know, headbands and all these things that I have used in, you know, rituals and gatherings. And I don't say that I don't use them anymore, but they are part of what I dress as, just like, you know, I dress with, you know, tie-dye garments that I go out in the South here, you know, and people are going, I love your outfit, it's so great, you know, instead of freaking out and going, you're a hippie, oh my God, get away, you know, because of the confidence of wearing it, even when I'm in a place that is unfamiliar. So I think that's kind of where I see the left, the right, the female, the masculine, and how to put it together in practical, you know, not just using certain things, but a holistic way. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that when we're talking about like the masculine and feminine and looking at those energies and what they're about, they're very similar in a lot of ways to when we're talking about the left and right brain. And just like, even if I look like at a list of characteristics, I could easily, like for less thinking, you know, I can see like verbal, thinks in language, thinks linearly, analytical, focuses on details, sees differences, and you know, that's actually a left thought process in the brain, but that could easily be like, you know, masculine energy. The same with, you know, looking at, you know, the right, thinking it's more like nonverbal, present moment based, looks holistically, compassionate, lost in the flow of time. That sort of stuff is could also, I mean, the heading of that could be like feminine energy. And, you know, I think that when we, you know, we look at like the, you know, magical principles and stuff, we see the principle of polarity and, you know, that masculine and feminine energies are under that, but we know that everybody has both of those energies. And that there is a rhythm and a cycle to all of this stuff. And so I think it's much like kind of understanding yourself with the left and right processes that are going on in our brain. We can also, you know, apply that to the masculine and feminine within. And so, and, you know, most of the masculine and feminine is on a continuum, you know, and we can see like there's a range of all these possible energies within masculine and feminine. And, you know, I think that, again, you know, just like there's an oversimplified view of the left and right brain, there's also, you know, kind of like an unfortunate oversimplified view of polarities and of masculine and feminine, where I think a lot of polarities, even in magic, are kind of lumped together, like all the ends of the different spectrums, like some common ones are like, you know, like the words light, good, positive, day, and male are often lumped together, and then the words dark, night, negative, evil, and feminine are often lumped together. And I think that there's, you know, there's probably some past efforts to simplify our understanding of these polarities, but doing that kind of caused a shift in consciousness and seeing them as equal when they're really not. So when we contemplate working with a dark goddess, per se, some of us might be put off because some of us might equate it with evil or negative because of the term dark. And so that can be confusing because many dark goddesses are really quite benevolent and loving. So I think the key to working with consciousness or energies of the masculine and feminine is often about balance, and what that means will differ for each of us. And so like working, you know, with the balance of our left and right levels of consciousness and, you know, our left and right emotional selves. And so I think, you know, when we work with that, when we're, you know, working with whether it's mundane or magic, we're, you know, recognizing both of these energies within ourselves and kind of like balancing and honoring. And so like you said before, the energetic signature of the masculine is often described as confident, decisive, disciplined, and analytical, while the feminine is often described as intuitive, creative, nurturing, healing, and emotional. And so I think our true power is filtered through the balancing of those energies, whether masculine, feminine, or working with the right or left brain. And so I think that, you know, that when we're doing things like ritual, divination, and spell casting, we really need to tap into the, you know, the polarities or, you know, the different energies within ourselves. And that's, I also was kind of looking at like some of the, what I found really confusing was the whole thing like with masculine and feminine herbs. So that kind of would drive me nuts until, and I think I understand this right now, you know, let me know what your thoughts are, but I believe that, you know, how they end up deeming whether an herb is masculine or feminine is according to what planet or element it is aligned with. And so, like, you know, the ones that are considered masculine are the plants that are aligned with the Sun, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And then the ones that are aligned with feminine planets are the Moon, Venus, Neptune, and Pluto, which I guess Mercury and Uranus are neutral. And also, like with the astrological signs, you know, Aries, Sagittarius, Gemini, Leo, Libra, and Aquarius are considered masculine, while, you know, Taurus, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, and Pisces are considered feminine. But I always wondered how did they assign, you know, with herbs, whether they had masculine or feminine energies. And so that's kind of how I came to understand it. How about you, Elvira? Did you have any thoughts about like the whole thing of how masculine and feminine are ascribed to different plants or herbs?
Well, you know,
or crystals. That's another
crystal stones. That's another one. I know that, you know, obviously they tend to look at the color, and you know, in terms of stones, the first thing they look at is color. And then you look at, you know, I would say soft and hard. You know, the hardness of something may be considered another version. I don't think back in ancient times they were worried about, you know, well, this stone is harder than that stone, except in a very primal way, like, you know, it takes, you drop this one, it shatters, you drop that one, it bounces, you know, that kind of thing. But I do feel that, you know, it's in the more ancient times, I think it was like color. It was what, you know, maybe for instance, you know, pearls were feminine, and, you know, they, you know, where they came from, they were round, they were, you know, they came from the inside of this, you know, crusty little thing, and, you know, like a woman gives birth to a child. I mean, they can come with certain ways of how these things came into existence, but I think it was very primal, you know, very simplified, and as we got into fancier stones and, you know, things, I think they kind of added dimensions to it. Plants, I think, were, you know, things that either, you know, created certain kinds of things, you know, a heavy vomiting that you got rid of something. So it's aggressive versus something nurturing that helped bring fevers down or something like that. Feminine, because it was, you know, it, you know, again, from the heat, which would be fire, to a cool, which would be feminine, you know, that kind of a thing. I'm thinking of usage. Sometimes it may even have been the way that the plant looked, but, you know, I mean, things with thorns were projective, you know, they're protective, projective, you know, and nice fluffy things, pretty flowers or pretty, you know, leaves might have also given it more of a feminine point of reference. I find it amusing that roses are considered very feminine, even though they got thorns, and they definitely are, you know, prickly. So I would look at that as, you know, a woman can be very loving and caring, but she could be also a very angry person if you cross her. I think there's, you know, we're looking at the you know, like tables of correspondences are things that have from large amounts of time over time and structure that they have come into effect more than just one way. And, you know, I'm sure clarity were, you know, given a reference point of, you know, the energy of a masculine, I see clearly where I need to go, you know, versus, you know, nice and dreamy and, you know, like, you know, that intuitive, we're going into that liminal state. We would call it liminal, but they didn't necessarily. So the usage of them, that's my thoughts on it. I don't know where are we with our time, because I don't want to.
Well, we're getting pretty close here. So I just, I guess my final thought on left and right consciousness and masculine and feminine consciousness is that I think that, you know, in both the magical and mundane worlds, we need to use all of them. But then I think that it's really serves us well to just kind of get in touch with what that is within ourselves, and because then I think it's easier to call upon those aspects of ourselves when needed.
So definitely leaves us still much more we could go on for, but I know both of us are looking at
much time.
How much more so that we can throw out there, you know, that kind of stuff.
So, I've got to start doing our maintenance stuff at the end here. So I am going to go into contact information. So for readings or root work, find Elvira and I on Hulu Psychics and on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can also find Elvira online at www.elvira.com and also at www.milk-and-honey.com. And you can find me on my website at bewitchingbee.com, www.bewitchingbee.com. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it, except, well, let's see. Oh, I got to say before we totally wrap up that next week, Thursday, we will continue the theme of reaping balance, talking about working with inner and outer. And so that should be interesting and just kind of falling right in line with our theme of reaping balance.
really? We've dissected this well.
yeah. So I'm just seeing, is there anything else I forgot?
No, I think you're right on target with everything that I can see. So,
alrighty. Well, then it's time for us to say goodbye. And until next time, everybody, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
WowVegas.com. Where you're a winner, baby.
Win at WowVegas.com, America's best social casino. With more than 900 free play games at your fingertips. Winners say wow when they play at WowVegas.com. Experience the real thrills of Vegas at home or on the go. Claim your free coins today at WowVegas.com.
WowVegas is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
WowVegas.com. Where you're